area, we had a lot of the early nuclear industry, and we had medical problems associated with worker accidents. So I guess I focused more on that when I got to Pittsburgh.
Would you consider that your life's work now, then?
Bit of a mixture. Fortunately, the number of accidents and the types of problems that we faced in the 1950s and 60s began to diminish by the 1980s. I'm always afraid to make this kind of statement, but we haven't seen the kinds of industrial accidents that were seeing in the first few decades when I was here. We sort of reached a peak, and things, by virtue of regulation and experience, things have improved.
Does that mean that there's people who could test having nuclear industries near their homes, you know, have gone out and said, we don't want this built near us?
I don't think so, other than the psychological stress which some of them appear to feel. A nuclear power plant turns out to be a safe neighbor. I mean, we've had 4 decades of experience now, and the only accident which in any way impacted, and again it was mainly psychological, on the public was the one at Three Mile Island 14 years ago. So,
when you're saying it was mostly psychological?
The amount of radioactive material that actually got into the environment was that was on the island itself, and was diluted by air around, so that the excess exposure of the public within 50 miles was really undetectable, even theoretically. Person who stood at the fence post of the boundary fence of the Three Mile Island power plant for 48 hours would have received much less exposure than a year of natural background. So that that was a theoretical person. There was no such person. So the radiation release was virtually non-existent. But the media coverage was very powerful. You hear often Cronkite, our father figure, talking about the grave dangers of a meltdown, and it happened to be that there was a movie on China Syndrome, which was playing at the time. Had to do with a meltdown. It had a tremendous impact on the public. There's still people that are somewhat disabled by their concerns.
Really?
Oh, yeah. But I've been serving on an advisory committee, which is having its last meeting in September on the decontamination of TMI-2, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission Advisory Committee.
You've been serving on that committee since 3 Mile Island?
Seems like forever. It was an unusual move of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to develop what they called a public advisory committee on decontamination. information to the public because of the tremendous amount of concern. So this advisory committee was developed and consisted of public officials, county commissioners from the area, mayor of Middletown, which is the town nearest the reactor, was on it. It included state officials, the head of the State Bureau of Radiation Protection was on it, for example. It included some members of environmental organizations in the area. It included some academics, scientific background people from Penn State, and I was from Pitt. And the meetings were held always between 7 and 10 in the evening so the public could attend. And the notices were always out in local newspapers. And we had a lot of public participation. And a number of issues were dealt with in this sort of forum. It was supposed to focus on the decontamination issues, what would be done with the water that was accumulated, that was somewhat contaminated, issues of what would be done with the radioactive gases which accumulated in the containment building where the reactor is. And one of the foremost issues, somewhat unexpectedly to those of us that were naive, was the economic one. Who would pay for the cleanup? And this meeting, this public advisory committee with public meetings, was a mechanism where people could raise questions, and we also met periodically over the years, one or more times a year with the commissioners of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. The commission is run by five commissioners, and our advisory committee would meet with the commissioners. Yeah. And so we were able to take what we were hearing from the public and bring it to the attention of the commissioners. We were suspect because of the composition of the committee, public officials, and ivory tower academics, but gradually the public and the organizations which grew up environmentally oriented organizations, concerned mothers and so on, began, I guess, to trust us to the extent that when, in more recent years, we would talk at our meeting about how much longer the panel should continue before it disbanded, they would harangue us about not going away. There was always one more issue that still needed attention. I guess the company also was not too friendly because we were in a position where we listened to progress reports from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, from the regulator, from the company, the owners of the plant, from the public, and from the various government officials, and we were critical where we felt necessary of all of them. Oh, this thing runs very slowly. Yeah,
I've got it.
Actually, I felt about a year ago, Oak Ridge National Lab for mitigating the psychological stress to the public, not falsely dispelling a legitimate concern, but trying to convey good information to the public, which generally had the effect of reducing anxiety and stress. So I wrote a paper and presented it there, and came to the attention of the advisory committee. And the last meeting we had a few months ago, about 6 months ago, with the commissioners, the chairman of our advisory panel mentioned it and had a copy with him because it was in our records. And the next thing I knew, about a month later, it turned out the NRC, the Regulatory Commission, had contracted with a scientific, social scientific component of Battelle, the research firm, to do a study of the advisory panel and its efficacy, because apparently it was a unique experience to have a government established advisory committee that had a real impact on the public and the public health, which of course was why I stayed on for all those years, because I felt that it was doing some good. The study will be released shortly. We're all kind of anxious to see how it comes out. We figured that we stepped on enough toes of diverse groups, so we must be doing something right.
Yeah.
And also, at the end, the most recent meeting, where we talked about disbanding again. Well, we told the NRC if either they should disband us or give us a pension. You know, it's free service for the government. They didn't pay the travel, but for the local, the people in the local area, they didn't pay travel, and they didn't pay for dinner, and the meeting is at 7, and, you know. It was a lot of sacrifice on a lot of people's part. So, but in the end, all of the parties involved wanted us to continue, but no.
Will this study determine whether you continue?
No, I think the decision has been made with the final stage of decontamination was the evaporation of the water, 2 million gallons of water, processed water that's been used in doing the cleanup. Then you're stuck with that. You've got to do something with it. It was evaporated. The evaporation ended about last week, and there was an item in the Times about the end of the cleanup. The plant is still there. The fuel is gone, and the major cleanup is over. And what remains is a disabled plant, but the other plant on the island, TMI Unit 1, is still operating. And so the owners, General Public Utilities, proposed, and I think the NRC is accepting, that the final decommissioning and closing down of the TMI 2 unit will take place at the same time as TMI 1 is decommissioned. And these plants have a 30 to 40 year lifespan, so it'll be another 20-25 years. Meanwhile, the residual radioactivity embedded in the concrete and irremovable will decay through radioactive natural processes of decay, and will be much less of a hazard to the workers when they decommission and tear it down 20 years from now. Our last issue, and a matter of public concern as well, was will there be enough money for the decommissioning? Are the plants setting aside enough money to decommission the nuclear power plant? And the additional issues that come up is who should be paying for this. Again, we always get this one. Is it the ratepayer? Is it the electric bill? Is it stakeholder? Is it the company? Is it the government? And it was a combination of all of these that paid for the cleanup, and the company is, by regulation now, all nuclear power plant owners have to set aside money. It began 2 years ago, the regulation, in order to have an escrow account that will be big enough at the end of the lifespan of the plant to get rid of it.
So all plants have a specific lifespan, so eventually you would have to get rid of all of them?
Just those you do with coal-fired plants, like parts age, and, like your car. There comes a point where maintenance is no longer cost-effective, so you get rid of it, you get a new one. And the same thing applies to any machine. Now, a power plant is just a big and extremely complicated machine.
Have any of the people who lived in that area been followed up? Because there were stories periodically soon after Mile Island had a problem with people who said they were so frightened.
Yeah, the State Health Department had a number of projects. For example, the Health Department had a project going on fetal outcomes, pregnancy outcomes, before the accident. No, other than advising now and then. So they were already looking at pregnancy outcomes in the area. The object was to have this as a statewide thing, but they happened to start. It didn't happen. Harrisburg happens to be the capital of the state, so naturally things start in the counties around Harrisburg. So they already had this going, and they just simply plugged in the fetal outcome of people who were pregnant at the time of the accident in that area, and there was no effect, no difference. There were some false alarms that had to do more with another subset of the population in that area, which is the Amish, who intermarry and propagate some genetic abnormality. So there was concern about hypothyroidism, but it turned out to be related to this genetic problem, not the TMI. Cancer incidence was another thing that's been studied. You have to be fair and honest in this kind of study. It takes decades for most solid tumors to develop from a given starting point. Cigarette smokers don't develop lung cancer in the next week. They develop it 20, 30 years later. So the studies have to go on, just as the Japanese. So the cancer incidence in those areas is being monitored by the State Health Department. So it's a census taken based on our recommendations and drawing on the Japanese experience. I was called in as a consultant for the State Health Department on the third day of the accident. And once we got past the concern about immediate extension and increase in damage, we began to think about follow-up. And I was among those who recommended that a census be carried out, not 5 years later as we did in Japan, because it took that long to realize what we needed, but start right now. And with the help of the Federal Census Bureau, a census was taken of all of the people in a 5-mile circle around the plant, some 30,000 people. And it determined for each of them where they were night and day for 14 days from the start of the accident. Because you could have people that lived outside and worked in the area, or people who lived close by but worked in Harrisburg. census of all of these people and any correlations between late effects can be carried out. We did those estimates. That part of the project was done in our department here in Pittsburgh. Dr. Gurr, a physicist on our faculty, and we have computerized data in which you can find the location of every house that the people in that 5 mile area inhabited in a computer screen, and based on the changes in wind direction and the known releases, very low level, but nevertheless measured at the plant during the accident, you can determine the exposure that people close in could have gotten. And so we have a best estimate of exposure, however minuscule, for every one of those people, which is in a way a counterpart to what took us many, many years to develop in Japan. We got that right off the bat. In a sense, I mean, this is strictly facetious, but we had the dose part pinned down. The only problem was so little activity that we've got a denominator looking for a numerator, just the opposite of the problem in Japan. But with that experience, we were hopeful that the same thing would be done in Chernobyl. There was a census taken. The people who,
in Chernobyl?
Yeah, the people who were evacuated all had some indication on their, you know, they have an internal passport. They've got to have this carta. And everyone who was in that, the plant, you know.
When did you go there? Russia.
My first time was I was there for other reasons back in 1965, but the first time related to Chernobyl was in 1980, I guess.
How long after the province?
It was 2 years after the accident. The Soviets invited me to come to a meeting, and the meeting was the first time that they were publicly presenting information about the health effects, and it was in Kiev. That was the beginning of getting to know some of the people and the working relationship. Then our government and the USSR had a bilateral agreement to exchange information related to civilian nuclear reactor safety. The object from our standpoint was twofold. One was to advance state of the art of reactor safety, so that we would, along with the rest of the world, face the consequences of another Chernobyl. The other object was, since this was really the worst accident of the nuclear power industry, we want to learn from it. And just as cleanup at TMI, the Japanese government was one of the contributors that helped bear the cost, in return for which they sent a continuing flow of engineers who learned about how to clean up a reactor. Yeah, to TMI. Here we wanted to get the information based on the Russian experience. And they certainly had, as it turned out, much more experience than we've ever had in cleaning up farmland, forests, town, because of all the then hidden accidents they had in their nuclear weapons program in the Ural Mountains and places like Chelyabinsk. So they had a lot of experience before Chernobyl in how to clean up. And so with this bilateral agreement, 10 areas of interest were identified. Area 7 was to develop research projects which would get information of interest to us as well as them, and largely with funding from us. On that basis, I have a study that I think I mentioned of Ukrainian school children in the Chernobyl area.
Yeah.
Oh. Hard for me to keep track of what I said before. Yeah, you have to keep me on track if I'm repeating something.
Study of the Ukrainian children.
We have a study going the second year now. Collaboration with a group at in Kiev. And it's really now, you know, we have the complication I started talking about.